Welcome to the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank Podcast, a production of the Center for History and New Media. I'm Ken Albers, and this week we will hear excerpts from an oral history interview with Mozilla's chief lizard wrangler, Mitchell Baker, that Olivia Ryan and I recorded in June of 2006. Mitchell began the interview by recounting some of her early history with Mozilla, including her time as a volunteer general manager.
I'd been acting as the general manager, chief lizard wrangler, since 1999, and already had a lot invested in the project in terms of thinking it's an important piece of work to happen and recognizing that I had a role that's I was good at, and there weren't that many people who could step into it. So when I stopped working at AOL, I actually never had any doubt that I would continue to be involved. And that was clear both in my mind and in a set of other people who were equally eager for me to stay as the general manager of the project. So I guess there really was never too much doubt about it. And I did work as a volunteer for about a year, not full time, right? And I did notice, you know, there are some differences in being a volunteer, but I found that sort of my voice or my authority was in no way diminished, and my ability to talk to people and get different perspectives and try and figure out the right path was certainly not less because no one was employing me to do that. Then I went back to work 3 or 4 days a week, I think, with Mitch Kapor at the Open Source Applications Foundation, and Mitch subsidized maybe a day of that work as Mozilla work. So in that period, I was part volunteer for Mozilla, paid a day to work for Mozilla, and paid some to work on OSAP's project, Chandler. So it was a mixture all the way around. And I went back to work full-time when we formed the foundation. But at that time, I was still splitting my time between the Mozilla project and OSAF. And then as the foundation took off and it was clear it needed more time and attention, Mitch and I agreed I would stay on the board at OSAF but stop being an employee and spend all of my time here. Because Mozilla certainly takes all of my time and more. So actually, to go on a little bit, so at that point, we formed the foundation in 2003. And I was not alone, but certainly instrumental in that. And at that point, I became the president of the Mozilla Foundation. And then later on, when it became apparent that we should have this subsidiary, the corporation, I gave up a day-to-day operational role with the foundation and moved to the corporation.
Later, Mitchell elaborated on the volunteer process and its central role to the Mozilla production model.
Well, Mozilla has relied on the work of volunteers in a pretty fundamental way since maybe 2000. So when the project was launched in 1998, everyone was a Netscape employee, and the number of volunteers began growing slowly. So there were volunteers by, say, 1999 when I got there, and they grew over time. But even as early as 2000 and 2001, our ability to actually produce and ship a product was dependent on volunteers. One of the things that's sometimes hard to understand is the volunteers will provide, well, in our setting where we have so many employees, less time and less by quantity, but they're still critical. And that's critical today, too, even as our employee base grows. I think everyone here understands in a deep sort of internal way, we alone could not create and distribute and be successful as we have with Firefox to date based on employees. It wouldn't matter if we became 100 employees, 200 employees, 500 employees. It wouldn't change the fact that Firefox has taken hold because there are thousands and tens of thousands of people around the world who are interested in it and have emotional investment in it and a mental energy and spend time thinking about it. That you cannot duplicate in an employee base. So if you look at the amount of code that's checked in or the amount of work that's done, that will be skewed towards the employee base because we all have, you know, probably a minimum of 40 hours a week and upwards to spend on it. But that's not to say that takes the place of the non-employees.
So you sort of described why you volunteered. Why do you think other people volunteer?
I think there's many reasons. Some people volunteer because they use a browser. They understand how bad things can be because they've had a terrible experience. They'd like to have something different than what was available. Some people volunteer because they're interested in good technology. And we have extremely powerful technology, not just for the browser, but elsewhere. So some people volunteer because they want to use that and be involved. A lot of people are interested in working together with others. And so we find many people are drawn by the fact there's smart people doing things they care about, and you can actually participate. Some people, a lot of people are not particularly fulfilled by their work. And they struggle with, I don't like my boss, or I don't like my coworkers, or the people I work with are great, but the work is boring. I'm really interested, or I think I'm good at this set of things, and there's not an outlet for that. Whereas in our project and other open source projects, if you can find the spot that you're good at and you like, you can pursue it. And, I think many people think programming is such an hard thing to approach. If you're not a programmer, it just seems like, how would you do that and why would you do that if it wasn't part of your job? But for the set of people who like it and are good at it and are comfortable at it, the chance to find a group of people that you like who will accept you, who don't care if you're 14 or 82 or, where you are, and actually work in a productive fashion and get recognition back and work together is actually more of a driver than people think. I mean, very often you'll hear people say work isn't all about a paycheck and life isn't all about a paycheck. You need one, but that's not the most fulfilling thing in life. Sometimes it's family, but often for people it's productive work and with others, and we offer that.
To hear Mitchell further discuss more Mozilla Memories and other topics, download the full oral history from the interviews section of the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank. Thank you for listening this week. We'll be back next time with highlights from an interview with developer Mike Connor. In the meantime, please help us collect the history of Mozilla, both from the developer and user perspectives. Visit mozillamemory.org or email us at mozmem@gmail.com. That's mozmem@gmail.com. And become a part of history by contributing your story to the Mozilla Digital Memory Bank.